but may or may not have these in it, but it wouldn't surprise me if it does. Death penalty for robbing a bank. Death penalty for selling drugs. And let's see, what else? Death penalty for carjacking. Death penalty for drive-by shooting. Death penalty for sabotaging government property, which could even be interpreted to mean graffitiing a federal building or going after the groups like the Plowshares who've tried to dismantle nuclear missiles and things in the Midwest, or the woman who broke into Vandenberg Air Force Base and messed with their control room and stuff. This bill also calls for sentencing parents to community service if their kids commit crimes. Man, think about it. The juvenile crime rate is going to go straight through the roof if this goes through. I know all kinds of things I would have done at the time if I thought it would get my parents punished like that. This goes to show how out of touch these lawmakers and our president are with real people. If they don't even bother to think of something like that. Oh, let's see. What other things are in this Senate crime bill? That people can declare drug emergency areas and send in the army to kick in everybody's doors and do door-to-door, ripping people's houses apart looking for drugs, no matter who you are. And with the drug war, we've already seen that there's been some fatal victims, and the most recent one was a 74-year-old retired Methodist minister in Boston. When the drug warriors came for him, they were trashing his apartment, he died of a heart attack on the spot. Gee, too bad, they say. And the guy, of course, has no recourse. On top of that, even though he likes to show he's tough on crime and supporting the Senate crime bill and all, Clinton has shown no interest in going balls to the wall to prosecute all these scandals that happened during the Reagan-Bush administration. No more interest in nailing people for Iran-Contra, which is especially scary because a lot of those people who should, like North, should be doing 5 to 10 at least. Instead, he may soon be a powerful senator from Virginia. Some of these other people, like Elliot Abe.
And you are on the air with Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. You've been listening to Jello Biafra from a very informative tape about a crime bill, which is still pending. It didn't pass in 94, I believe, when the tape was made. Didn't pass in 95 last year, but it's going to be coming down the pike this year. This is Bathrobe Spear Robert Norris. You're going to be listening to Bathrobe Spear's Broadsides for the next 2 hours, I hope. And I hope you're going to be calling in, because you do have an option to do that. And the number here is 427-3772. If you don't like numbers, that's 427-FRSC, Free Radio Santa Cruz. We welcome your input. We welcome any information you have, criticism, tirades, you name it. Just call in, 427-3772. And the subject of the next 2 hours will be, as always, civil rights for the poor here, there, and across the nation, mostly here. We're going to have a couple of impromptu guests. As I was walking into Taco Bell this morning to meet the folks, I ran into a guy who, for a switch, wanted to give me some money. Well, I decided I'd have to put him on the air to have him talk about this and what he's been up to. And Jeff is going to be with you in a moment. But first, we'll have an immediate call-in, and then we'll do our theme song of the day, and then we'll get on with the show.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hi. My name's Carrie.
Hi, Carrie.
And I teach people how to take the life force energy through their into their feet. It comes in through rocking.
Uh-huh.
And you need to wear leather-soled shoes or be barefooted.
Sounds cool.
And the life force energy, which is sexual energy or Tao or Prana, is static electricity.
Uh-huh.
And all the studies have been done that back it up and show that it is and what happens. And basically, if you get your atoms excited, that means the protons pop out and you become ionized, then the life force energy can move up through your body.
How long have you been working with this stuff, Carrie?
Years. Basically, though, I created the only massage technique which doesn't give the masseuse carpal tunnel syndrome because it's done with the feet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also the only one that doesn't put their back out of alignment when they lean over a massage table. They are knocking every vertebrae in their spine out of alignment.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is, for 10 years, I was on a neutralized list. It was just a nightmare of my life. Because I own a basic primitive human need, and I have it copywritten and everything, to make it mine, the technique,
mm-hmm.
which turns out the Adam's getting excited through a vigorous deep tissue massage, which is done with my feet.
Are you a Santa Cruz and Kerry?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
You know me. I mean, that's from years back.
Really? Uh-oh. I don't recognize you immediately, but, you know, I saw you, I might.
You know who I am.
Well, you know, what impact does this have on poor people? Have you had much success with that?
The thing is people are losing their humanity, because one of the things that has to be done in order for the whole process to occur is the nose has to be up against the sweaty neck of another human being to identify that they're intimately close to a human being.
Uh-huh.
And today's practices with central heating and, oh, honey, let's take a shower before we make love,
right,
routines, and having sex being the only way that anybody over 4 or 5 years old can get their basic intimate primitive needs being met for
right.
touch. That has to be sex, because there's no alternative. And there's no alternative because, well, an organized crime syndicate wearing guns and badges and taking steroids tried to destroy my life for 10 years, you know.
You know, it's interesting. I think what we should do is have you on the air. Are you interested in being a guest?
Yeah.
Are you downtown?
I'm very close.
Well, why don't you haul your feet over to Taco Bell, which is the place where we meet our guests, and at about 10:30, we'll get someone over there to pick you up and bring you to the studio so you can actually be live on the air and talk about this stuff. Though I should warn you, it's a full schedule today. I'm trying to get a lot of information out about this. There's a Citizens Committee for the Homeless's plan to eliminate the open-air shelter. There's the Citizens Police Review Board stuff coming up, so we're going to have to kind of squeeze you in. Would you be interested in that?
Okay, listen, the other thing is I have lobbied Washington, D.C. with this information.
Right, but what about what I just said?
Well, someone else was talking to me, and they said that they can bring me over to where you're at now.
Cool, okay, well, do it, and then we can talk about this stuff further, and you can actually be on the air directly, and we can
okay,
have people
call.
Okay,
I'll be over where you're at right now.
Sounds cool.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
So, to heck with those people who say we're only interested in politics and rabble-rousing. We're also interested in healing, fondling, touching, and everything else. Hey, we're going to have an expert in the studio shortly, so get a partner of your choice and get ready to learn the new methods of touching. And hopefully we can touch the authorities. Somebody's got to do something, and if we can't touch the authorities, maybe we can touch each other. In the studio with me, I have a guest. Guest, who are you?
My name is Jeff Welton. I'm from Oklahoma.
And Jeff, you kind of nudge up close to the mic. It's kind of almost kiss it. You just got into town about 3 weeks ago?
Yes, sir, that is correct.
And you're sort of informally dressed. You got on a kind of a green, looks like army jacket almost.
It's true, it's a full jacket.
And you've got a black cap on there. And have you been largely on the streets in the last 3 weeks, or have you been inside?
I've been largely on the streets and sleeping out, sir.
And have you been hassled by police or anybody for doing that?
No, I haven't so far, sir. I've been rather discreet in my travels, you might say.
You can call me sir if you wish, or your highness, or Robert, or you can just say hi, whatever.
Rob's great. Sorry, it's just
no, that's fine. No, that's good. Are you for your next military man? Or
I was in the Army and the infantry at Fort Benning, Georgia.
Uh-huh. And recently released?
No, I was released in the 90s.
So, how's it been for you in that decade? Let me ask you this, have you been part of the homeless population at that time, or this time?
Yes, I've been homeless off and on for the last 4 or 5 years.
And why would you say that is? Is it your own personal problem? Are you to blame? Is it housing conditions? Is it lack of job opportunities? Is it your choice to wander about? Or is it all these things? Oh, tell me in your own words what you think it is.
Well, I'd say a person is questioned realty because housing is a right, not a privilege. And, I would say that there's a lot of oppression and coercion going on. I was married to a state representative's daughter who works in the state legislature in Oklahoma, and ever since then I'm sort of dirt or something. And I can relate to what Kerry was saying earlier. about people with badges and organized crime syndicates. Sometimes I think people even pretend to be police officers and they're not. And this makes me worried. That's why if somebody wants to arrest me here, I'm going to say, I don't know you from Adam. Sorry, I'm going to have to resist, and maybe to my dismay. you know, this makes me entirely nervous because I've gone through the whole spectrum of psychiatric treatment, which is simply coercion and it's oppression at its worst, and I feel that it's sheer torture, and I'm trying to avoid that persecution, sort similar to Saul's persecution of David, which is found in 1 and 2 Samuel of the Old Testament.
Jeff, let me interrupt you for a moment. A significant minority of the population, which some people call homeless, others call lazy scumbags, others call free spirits, others call people victimized by American society, is described as, quote, mentally ill. That is, they've been given a label by a psychiatric institution or official. This has happened to you, I take it.
Yes, I have been labeled mentally ill, and I may be manic depressive, but so was Abraham Lincoln and Frederick Handel, who wrote The Messiah, which is a musical work. Anyway, he wrote it in 6 weeks, so I don't feel that it's a bad thing to be manic depressive. I don't believe in the term mentally ill, per se. I just think that I'm different.
Mm-hmm. That sounds sensible. In fact, we have a regular talk show host and occasional caller, community activist John Stewart, who frequently discusses this issue. He's also a survivor of psychiatric institutions, as many of us are. And he's pointed out that terms like depressed, terms like psychotic, are really kind of ways of alienating you from yourself and putting a kind of false label on what is really a series of intimate emotions that you have at any particular time that really is unique, although perhaps shared in some respects by other people because we all share human experiences. Do you regard yourself, you use the label manic depressive, do you regard yourself, is that a label that you have internalized, do you accept that as some sort of definition of you in any sense, or would you use another set of words to describe your emotions and feelings?
That simply defines something that's sort of indefinable. It's symbolic of having highs and lows, one might say. And there's a book called Madness, Heresy, and the Rumor of Angels that I found in the Santa Cruz Public Library. That's Madness, Heresy, and the Rumor of Angels. Which describes some of the malicious treatments by psychiatrists. And
who's the author of that book? Do you know, Jeff?
I can't recall the author's name, but it's copyrighted 1991, I believe, Madness, Heresy, and the Rumor of Angels.
It can be found in the title index of the Santa Cruz Library.
Yes, as well, there's a book by a psychiatrist and MD named Peter Roger Bregan entitled Toxic Psychiatry, which deals with the abuses by the mental health system. And it would behoove any of us to read that to become more educated, educated indeed on the truth of psychiatry today.
Now, you've been on the streets a lot, and have you met people that you would call, for want of a better word, crazy, in the sense that their behavior seems to you to be strange, occasionally threatening? Of course, I regard police officers in that light often. But I'm talking about in a more kind of colorful manner, or a more shocking manner. Well, even then, police officers can be, it's kind of hard to do this. What I'm looking at is, recently, some people, particularly conservative academics, have been trying to dismiss the homeless population as composed of three groups: crazy people, alcoholics, and drug abusers. And therefore, the attempt to give people housing and the attempt to give people jobs is really futile, because what they really need to do is all be locked up in an oven. And, no, what I'm saying, they really need to do is cured of their problems. That seems to be the inference by the new academics of the 90s. What's your sense of that as a man who has been among homeless people? You've called yourself homeless at different times, and you are currently sleeping outdoors.
Well, I know that, as the book Toxic Psychiatry suggests, psychiatry is toxic, and permanent damage can result as the result of use of psychiatric drugs. Peter Roger Bregan also has a book called Psychiatric Drugs, Hazards to the Brain, and this...
Are you using such drugs currently?
No, I do know that there are people out on the street who have been abused in this way, and they're so afraid of the painful effects of these drugs that's the reason they sleep out in the cold, that's the reason I do. It's a huge resistance that exists to the system and this psychiatric scenario, which is very criminal in orientation.
So what about this threefold division of the homeless population? Are you guys a bunch of crazies, boozers, and druggies? Is that kind of cover? Can we dismiss your humanity and your personhood that way? Is that an accurate way of saying, hey, let's not worry about housing for you, let's not worry about jobs, let's not worry about the nature of the kind of American society that's produced of a large population that says no to the mainstream? Rather simply, it's all your fault. You're just a bunch of crazy, drugged, alcoholic scumbags.
Well, I've been an alcoholic before, but mostly a long time ago. But there's an old saying in Alcoholics Anonymous, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. And presently, I'm not an alcoholic, and I don't smoke. The only problem I have with is being persecuted by psychiatry and my former father-in-law, Mike Mass, a state representative from Oklahoma, who's affiliated with the National Democratic Party because he is a Democrat. All Democrats are together. It's cohesive.
Have you been hassled by psychiatric authorities in this state recently?
No, I never have, but I know there are people who are this is occurring in Pescadero and in Atascadero right now. And it's
Pescadero State Hospital.
Yeah, right, in state hospitals. And this is a huge racket which must be abolished eventually.
Well, what kind of solutions are there for people who are... all of us have these problems, but people who are particularly afflicted with problems which others say make them dysfunctional at jobs, like sometimes we're talking drug and alcohol addiction, but we're also talking about things which psychiatrists give labels to, and other people who aren't psychiatrists but have undergone these experiences describe in somewhat more personal and unique terms. But you use the word manic depressive. Do you feel that... Could you take a steady job? When's the last time you worked at a steady paying job?
Well, I haven't had gainful employment for a while. I was a substitute teacher when I was married to this state representative's daughter in Oklahoma in 1990. But I've worked at various jobs. The longest job I ever held was at Chi-Chi's Mexican Restaurant for 6 months, other than the Army Reserve.
How long ago was that?
That was 9 years ago. But I must say that the Army Reserve was 2.5 years, and I think I was pretty proud of my achievements there. I've completed university work at Kansas Wesleyan University in the major of music, and I feel pretty good about myself in my writings to the United States Justice Department concerning the politics of Oklahoma, et cetera.
Now, Oklahoma, of course, has been much in the news the last year because of the Waco situation, because of the bombing in Oklahoma City. No, Waco's Texas, I'm sorry. The bombing in Oklahoma City. Are your political views, would you put them anywhere on a conventional spectrum? Are you right-wing, left-wing, libertarian, in the middle? Do you have your own way to describe it, what you think about how society should be organized and what rights people should have?
Simply to make the statement that I do not support Bill Clinton, which I did so verbally and naively back in 1992, I wrote from British Columbia this last summer that I support Bob Dole. And I said that I represent the ultra-right and that this is a state of war. As such, I believe the people must declare war on the government, and as Thomas Jefferson wrote in the Declaration of Independence, the people have the right to abolish the government, and in my mind, this is by all means necessary.
So, would you then agree with the actions of the Oklahoma City bombers, who blew up the federal building, or would you say that was a mistake? I guess they are in a public mind associated with an extreme right-wing agenda. You'd call yourself an extreme right-winger?
Yes, I do.
Now, does that mean, for instance, you believe that black and colored people have less right to live than white people?
I don't believe they have less right to live. I think a man earns respect and will be judged by his actions.
So... would you say that you have black friends?
Yes, I do, at least in New York City, but not in New Jersey.
Do you feel your prejudice toward black? Are you a white supremacist?
No, I am not, but I do know that I've been abused by whites and blacks in New Jersey, but it seems, and on an equal degree, so no, I'm not at all racist.
So if you, by extreme right wing, you aren't really saying you're a racist, would you say that you're a fundamentalist, religiously speaking? Do you believe in...
Yes, I believe that by God's will, an army will crush certain Midwestern states after a revolution occurs in the Northeast.
Should a woman have a right to choose an abortion?
No, I do not believe a woman has the right to choose an abortion. I think that is ungodly.
Your view of the Nazi and communist regimes of the 30s?
I think Adolf Hitler was a great leader, And I think without his leadership in Germany and the American and British forces coming against him with the French resistance, I don't think Eisenhower would have ever become a five-star general or president, and Roosevelt wouldn't be remembered in the light he is today.
Would you call yourself an anti-Semite?
No, I have a good friend who's a Jew who published a book, copyrighted a book called Desolation Road. His name is Mark Franklin Bernheiser.
Do you then subscribe to the view that Hitler did not set up death camps and kill 6 million Jews?
No, I think he may have killed many people. But in the Old Testament of the Bible, it speaks of God's punishment of Jews time and time again, and I think this may merely have been another punishment of the Jews by God.
Well, it sounds like you certainly are a non-conventional thinker. You don't necessarily jump on the bandwagon with any particular political faction, and also you're not afraid to express views that are, to say the least, extremely controversial.
Yes, sir. To reiterate a point, though, to recap on our former topic, I don't mean to be irrelevant here, but
Before you do, Jevon, I want to give you an opportunity. Let me get this call.
Okay, great.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Gee, yeah, Robert, have we reached the section in your show where I can talk shit about something that your guest said yet?
Sure.
That's ridiculous.
Sure, go ahead, Phil.
I just got up, and I just haven't had a coffee yet, and I heard somebody on Free Radio Santa Cruz justifying Old Testament scripture is the reason why millions of Jews were killed. What do you use for the justification of millions of witches killed by Christians? Millions of alleged witches, actually the number's 9 million. Justify that with some Old Testament scripture for me. I'm really interested to hear. Very interesting conversation there.
Yeah, definitely. I'll pass that on to Jeff, but frankly, I'm going to attempt to turn the conversation shortly back to life on the streets, because all of these views are all very interesting. We can rage about them for hours. I want to get information out about how actually we're living these days. But do you want to comment on Phil's comment about the...
Yes, sir. I appreciate what you're saying. My former spouse received books on witchcraft by the USPS while I was married to her. Anyway, I appreciate that, and I do know that this was a heinous atrocity that occurred in the Middle Ages. But I do believe, as the right wingers do, that that witchcraft is wrong and that all witches should be killed.
Right? Hey, wait a minute. Yeah. I would like to give me this guy's number, and I want to have him on my show and debate that issue.
I will. And okay. What time is your show, Phil?
Tonight, Monday night, 7:30. So I'll be glad to talk about it tonight on the air.
So Jeff, would you like to be on the air again at 7:30?
I'd be glad to, but I don't want to involve myself with any hostilities right now. That is to say,
I'll
I don't
tell
want
you
to
right now before you come in.
I don't want to.
I'm a practicing witch.
I don't want to get involved in any physical fights at this time.
No,
I'm
not
quite prepared for it.
It's not going to be a physical fight. I would like to debate you on the air. I am a witch, and I'd like you to come and say that to my face. And matter of fact, why don't you come and justify killing me to my face?
Oh, I understand.
Hey.
We want to get into a physical confrontation, but at this time feel prepared.
No, you said I should be killed. You're talking about the physical confrontation. I am not. You said
I believe in Jesus Christ. I don't believe in witchcraft.
Let me
attempt to intervene here.
Jeff, I think what he's saying is he would like to have a debate with you, a non-violent debate.
That would be fine. I think it would be better that I called him, because I don't know if I'm going to be ambushed or what. It sounds as though you expect to have a physical confrontation, which
okay.
at this time I'm not prepared for a conflict.
One last comment before I go?
Sure.
If there was ever any justification for a mental illness, this man is it. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Phil.
Well, that sounds like we might have a very interesting show tonight at 7:30. And to call in, Jeff, you just call this number, 427-3772.
Hi, you're on the air with Free Radio Santa Cruz, Robert and Jeff.
Hello, Jeff.
Hello?
Yes?
Yes?
What the hell is wrong with you, buddy? So, that was Phil Free on the phone there, and you don't particularly feel like coming to his show and talking with him?
I think Jeff said by the caller that he was willing to do it by phone, but he felt
that
apprehensive.
Do it in person. If you don't do it in person, you're nothing but a chicken.
Well, you know, Jeff is new to town here, and I think it's for me, it's real important that we recognize that people with different views can share a common struggle. And frankly, I know people who have lots of crazy, I would call them crazy views on the street, and I certainly don't agree with Jeff's views. But I agree with Jeff's right to express his views, and I agree with Jeff's struggle as a homeless person on the streets and his concern about the rights of other people, for example, who are psychiatrically labeled. And this has been a struggle which people on the, quote, extreme right have pursued actually for certainly as long a time as people on the extreme left.
It's voodoo economics, Rob. It's voodoo economics. Zombieism is part of witchcraft, and all voodoo must be gotten rid of at by all means necessary.
Well, I'm going to try to turn the subject away from the theoretical problems that we may have in the analysis of the economic system to actually what your experiences have been in Santa Cruz. You've been sleeping illegally, camping illegally, as many of us have. Is that right?
Well, I wouldn't say that.
Meaning you sleep outside at night?
Well, yes, but, you know, this land is your land, this land is my land.
Right.
As Arlo Guthrie's dad, Woody Guthrie, wrote, you know, and sang, this land is your land, this land is my land. He's from my home state, anyway, of Oklahoma. This land belongs to you and me, you know. These redwood forests are not owned by any upper echelon any more than they're owned by the people of this country.
I couldn't agree with you more, Jeff, but practically speaking, our city, in its great wisdom, has produced a law called the Santa Cruz City Sleeping Ban. That's Municipal Code 6.36.010, which I and others have been criticizing and fighting for about a decade, actually two decades. And you are, if you are sleeping within the city limits, in a car, outside, or even on somebody's private property, unless it's a fenced-in side yard or backyard, illegally. So I'm not criticizing you for doing it.
Actually, I walk outside the city limits, Rob.
All right. Well, as long as you're legal, then I'll keep talking to you. But otherwise, having a major sleep criminal in the studio might be dangerous, and you might attack me at any time.
No, I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't.
You might fall asleep on me.
No, although
I might start snoring.
I'm trained in combat and karate. I would never attack anybody.
Can you suppress a snore?
Without, yes, I can.
Excellent. Well, can you snore at will?
Yeah.
Anyway, let's return to what it's like to be homeless in Santa Cruz. You originally came to Santa Cruz because you had a previous contact with someone here, and you're en route to Los Angeles, right?
Yes. Aaron Plaza, a 1994 graduate of UC Santa Cruz, is a former friend of mine, and or a friend of mine now. I just haven't communicated with her in approximately 1 year and a half. And I met her on a bus in Washington State on route from Kalispell, Montana to L.A. approximately 4 years ago.
I see. So you didn't, I'm wondering, see, sometimes our city fathers and mothers tell us that people come to Santa Cruz because there's a reputation in New York on the streets that there's a wonderful land of milk and honey in Santa Cruz, California, and so hundreds of thousands of homeless people make for Santa Cruz like lemmings for a cliff. And I'm wondering if you heard rumors of this great paradise or whether it was because of your previous relationship with this person that, you know, brought you here. Have you heard anything across the country about how wonderful Santa Cruz is?
No, not really in general. I do know that the movie Lost Boys was filmed here, and I can appreciate the sort of the undertones of that movie. And anyway, especially the musical score. I do know that the girls that I met here and Tom Camperano, those are some very good people. And I met some other students from UC Santa Cruz.
How have the police treated you here in town, Jeff?
Well, I haven't had any. I haven't consorted with the police, and I try to avoid the police because the police and I, we
don't get along too well.
Well, we get along, but
you don't love each other that much.
It's a love-hate relationship, you know.
Or maybe it's what about homeless services? Like, do you ever go to the free meal? Do you use the Food Not Bombs? Do you use Feed the People services?
Sure. I occasionally use these services.
Mm-hmm. And you ever use the Armory, the shelter program at night that they have here?
No, I haven't chosen to use the Armory at this time.
And why have you chosen not to use the Armory and to risk, let's say, arrest in the city or outside the city when you're sleeping? You can still get harassed.
Well, I used to be a long-distance runner, and I have no problem walking outside the city to sleep, and it's just the cold's getting to me this time.
Any prejudice you notice in Santa Cruz against homeless people or people, let's say, you don't have a sign on you that says homeless, but you're pretty informally dressed, and you know you look pretty clean cut too. So it's hard to tell. But have you experienced any prejudice that you would attribute to your being homeless?
Yes, I was told to move on the other day when I was when I asked for a cup of coffee, and I think it was because of my appearance.
This wasn't at the Java House by any chance, was it?
No, it wasn't.
Just kidding.
It was at a 7-Eleven, but that's not a big deal at all. it was, I'm a non-provocable person, but it provoked me to going down to San Luis Obispo and see people I haven't seen for 6 months, and so that was good.
So you were in Santa Cruz and told at a 7-Eleven to move along, and you went to San Luis Obispo and then came back? Or?
Yes, I hadn't intended to move along, but I decided to do so. I hadn't intended to originally, just by being told to move along, that is, but I decided to go ahead and do so. And
had you been panhandling outside the 7-Eleven?
I tried to get a cup of coffee, yeah.
Shameful. Shameful and disgraceful. Yeah. First you try to sleep, and then you try to get a cup of coffee. What next?
Well, anyway.
Yes. Well, Jeff, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to move into the next segment of the show. You're welcome to stay on and to hang out, or to, you said without your morning fix of coffee, you're kind of slow to rise. You had a little coffee here, but I want to thank you for being on this segment of the show. And again, I would encourage you, if you feel that you want to get into a vigorous debate, and Phil Free is a sharp, very intense debater, but a nonviolent man. Well, he's never been violent to me. He's very express in his feelings, and intense in his feelings. Phil has been arrested for singing songs on the street that are about revolutionary change, and he's been ticketed, and he's been dragged into court, and he's never been convicted of that stuff, but they don't, the powers that be don't like him much.
Well, psychiatric kills. Just don't trust psychiatric drugs because they damage the brain permanently.
Well, I encourage you, Jeff, if you're interested, come back at 7:30 or call back, whichever feels good to you.
All right, Rob, just give me the number and I'll do so.
Sure, I'll write it down for you before you go, and maybe that kind of thing can happen. We have another incoming call here.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Psychiatric drugs damage the brain.
Yes.
Living proof of it. He's living proof of that, definitely. Thank you for this interesting guest, Robert.
You're welcome, Phil, and I hope that you two can continue this conversation if you two find it both mutually fruitful.
I hope so, and he's given me my first fascist of the day to revolt against. Good morning.
All right, take care, Phil.
So, that's Phil Free, and don't be fooled by his intensity.
Hitler was originally a revolutionary.
The final words were Adolf Hitler was originally a revolutionary, which is true, but some people felt he sold out the revolution big time, I for one. Any case, come back and, you know...
I'd like to call.
Yeah, or I think he Jeff is wanting to call in, Phil. And so if anyone is listening who wants to hear a continuation of an individual who does admire Adolf Hitler and who is homeless at the moment and is
not Eisenhower more, by the way,
and who admires Eisenhower more, which could be a big mistake, but I won't comment on that. Listen in at 7:30 tonight on Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3. I want to thank you again, Jeff, and feel free to hang or to take off.
I just need the phone number. If you
all right, and I'll give you, just write this down. Or here's a pen for you. And that was, what's your last name, Jeff?
Welton.
Jeff Welton on the air here, who, the first man who offered me money this morning, and I don't think Jeff has a lot of money to offer, so I want to thank you, Jeff, and hope that this dialogue can continue.
Please forgive me.
Ciao. All right, Jeff. So, you are, in fact, on the air, 96.3 FM, if you choose to be. You're listening to Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. And let's hear a little from the other side of the political spectrum, from Daryl Cheney.
So you're really mad as well. Give them hell. how he said, Pink Floyd's no more. What, you tired of the redwoods? Now you want the ocean floor. But the hammer wiggle rested when an admiral protested that this little girl was blocking on his door. Give 'em hell, Sally Bell, give 'em hell. Seems like that's what they've been wanting, so you really might as well. Give 'em hell, Sally Bell, give 'em hell. Mother Nature's own crusader saved the ocean, Sally Bell. Well, they sent it to Sally Bell to 30 days. No thanks to old Judge Rowland, down old Fortuna Way. He was banging on his gavel, trying to appease the rabble of the Navy, FBI, and CIA. Now I have to ask what kind of men these are, to put one like Sally Bell behind those bars. Now she's got the prison ranting, cause she's doing all this chanting, and the whole cell block's turned anti-nuclear. Give 'em hell, Sally Bell, give 'em hell. Seems like that's what they've been wanting, so you really might as well. Give 'em hell, Sally Bell, give 'em hell. Mother Nature's a crusader, save the planet, Sally Bell. Give 'em hell, Sally Bell, give 'em hell. Seems like that's what they've been wanting, so you really might as well. Give 'em hell, Sally Bell, give 'em hell. Mother Nature's a crusader, save the people, Sally Bell.
That was Give 'em Hell, Sally Bell, from I Had to Be Born This Century, Daryl Chaney's album. That song was actually written in 1985, or anyway, copyright 1985, from that album. I'm going to be playing some more from Daryl Chaney throughout the hour, just to give you guys a break from my controversial guests, as well as me, the endless Robert Norse. It is 96.3 FM. You are listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, and
we are on the phone to a guest who called in briefly and hung up and then called back. Hi, Tony.
Hi.
How you doing?
Yeah, that man got me a little bit upset.
Oh,
like,
understandably.
You could have told that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not often I hear point of views like that, and when I do, it just...
Oh yeah. Well, I think that I think it's a mixed point of view, which it's formed by a person who's been alone a lot, who's been isolated a lot, who's been on the streets a lot, and who's also had some real genuine confrontations and struggles of his own. Which and that's why I think it's really important to bring those out. I believe in the right to freedom of thought, and if somebody comes up with a view that's I feel much less threatened by his view than I do by government views, for instance, because I don't think his view has any significant support among the powers that be. However, let me ask you something. You're a Free Radio Santa Cruz collective person.
Yes.
In fact, you are the treasurer of Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Right.
There was a meeting last night, which I missed, of the collective, and I'd like to, for the benefit of those listening, give you a brief report on what happened to that meeting, and also when the next meeting is, how individuals who are interested in being on Free Radio, getting their own shows, can get that.
Well, just come to the meetings every other Sunday at the location, and you'll be able to get a show. There are several spots.
You want to give a location for the audience?
Is that okay?
I think the Free Radio Collective meeting, which does not meet at the studio, but which meets at Attorney Ed Fry's offices.
201 Maple, then.
201 Maple is, you know, that is a, yeah, that's public information, and it's, and quite frankly, I think the more open we are about things, the better, because if the FCC wants to close us down, they can triangulate on us within 10 minutes and show up.
We already know where we're at anyway.
Sure.
They probably have these new frequency counters and all that stuff.
So this, this is every...
triangulation antennas.
Yeah, that's, I think so. Every other Sunday, so the next meeting will be 2 weeks from yesterday.
Yes.
7 o'clock, is it 7 o'clock or 7:30?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock at 201 Maple, did you say?
Yeah.
And that's right across from the downtown Bagelery, for those who are interested in the offices of Attorney Ed Frank. Come on! We have a...
Now...
We have a, someone who's just arrived in the studio.
Is he another one of your guests, or...?
Yes, I think it's our touch therapist, our new masseuse who has brought her silver boots. She's going to walk on my back.
No, you don't walk on anybody.
Okay. Anything more you want to say about the meeting that happened last night?
Well,
any problems you want the audience to be aware of? Any needs?
No problems, except we do need donations because PG&E just keeps going up and up.
I hear you.
Got a $200 PG&E bill that I really need help with.
I hear that. Well, then I guess I'll sign off and thank
you
for calling in.
I received it too loud. You just got some feedback.
Yeah, I heard that. That we have a phone problem. Your voice is very quiet. My voice is very loud. You know, we probably need some kind of speaker phone in here or something.
No. Well, we do need a ringer for that phone because you're doing the same thing I had to do a couple of weeks ago when I was doing my show.
What I'm doing now is I'm turning down the phone completely. I think it works pretty well as long as I keep the phone down. So I'm going to pass on. All right. You want coffee? A glass of water? We're ordering out here. He's going to get chocolate croissant and pizza for us. So I'll talk to you later, Tony.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
You're on the air. You're on the air with Free Radio Santa Cruz. Call-in number, which is now open, is 427-3772. We have a big week coming up this week, and I want to kind of emphasize that really it's not much related to the first 45 minutes of the show that you've heard if you've been tuned in here to Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides.
It kind of is when you...
Well, perhaps it is. In the studio with us, belly up to the mic here. You got to be like this close.
Well, it is related to what you formerly were talking about with basically fascist activity in the government trying to do people in because I'm a person who's speaking from experience.
Sign in, please.
And what? Say who I am?
Yes, say who you are.
My name, well, I went by Carrie because nobody could say my real name.
What is your real name?
But I'm really insisting now.
Yes.
My real name is Karen.
Karen, that sounds pretty easy.
Well, it means, like, loving, caring. It means caring. And
caring.
It is caring.
Is it caring or caring?
Like, to care. Caring.
Say it again.
Loving, then what comes next?
Caring.
That's it.
That's you.
That's
so she's caring. That seems pretty easy.
No, it ain't. Nobody says it right, so I had to go to caring.
I'm going
to
work on it. We're going to teach you all out there how to say caring. It's easy enough.
Well, no. What I do for a living is... give you back your humanity by getting you in touch with your basic primitive instinct.
Before you begin, and I want you to, I wanted to kind of briefly tell the audience kind of a sort of a public service announcement. It was about something else, and then we can go right into it.
Okay.
I do appreciate your coming down here. You hustled right down, and then we've got you in the studio. But what has been happening, what is likely to be happening in the next few days around issues that we've been following on this station, and particularly on my show, are issues of the right to shelter, the right to sleep at night. Actually, that's even more to the point. There was an open-air shelter called the Coral Street Open-Air Shelter, which was closed down in a violation of a contract, in a violation of word, in a violation of a deal by the so-called Citizens Committee for the Homeless, which owns the property on which the Coral Street Shelter, which sheltered 200 to 300 people, and has for the last 2 years, on which that stood. It's the Coral Street Shelter was located next to the Free Meal, to the Homeless Community Resource Center, to the River Street Mini Shelter, to the Homeless Health Project, all of which are kind of clustered out at Highway 1 and Highway 9. That Coral Street Shelter is now a locked-off field thanks to the the perfidious policies of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless. And this week there are a series of meetings happening which might interest those who are concerned with that issue. The first meeting is today at 3:30 at the City Manager's Conference Room, which is right kind of kitty corner from the council chambers at City Hall. Just go to the City Council offices or the City Clerk's offices and ask where the City Manager's Conference Room is. At 3:30, the Open Air Shelter Subcommittee of City Council meets. That is a subcommittee which discusses endlessly, I might add, where can we find a place for people to sleep in March when the armory closes down, people are dumped out on the streets, and we suddenly find the Citizens Committee has been able to seduce the city and other funding agencies into giving them $1.3 million so they can open up their 10-trailer, 45-person project, which will displace 200 to 300 people. Their $200 to $600 a month rental project, which will displace a free service vital in Santa Cruz because, as we were hearing before, Santa Cruz is a town where it's illegal to sleep outside at night. There is a meeting today of the Open Air Shelter Subcommittee at 3:30 where I guess Catherine Byers and Celia Scott, two city council members, possibly Scott Kennedy, will be meeting with different people as they have every month, like clockwork, to talk about, oh gosh, I guess we can't find a place, let's meet again next month. But it's still important for people to show at this meeting and let these council members know that we have their eyes on what they're doing. And we are aware that essentially what this is a major runaround situation. There is no real attempt to set aside at least one out of the 600 acres up in the Poganip, which are available. Not that hard to find a campground which has been sought for two decades here in Santa Cruz for poor and indigent people. It's not hard at all. Sherry Connable and Barbara Riverwoman of Save Our Shelters, the campers organization which formed to resist the evictions from the Coral Street Open Air Shelter, they will probably be at this meeting. That's 3:30 today at the city manager's office. Then tomorrow at 3:30 on Tuesday, January 23rd at City Council Chambers right nearby, there will be a City Council meeting. And again, the request of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, the group that lied to the campers and evicted them, deported them from the property that they had been told they could stay on until essentially February, they will be seeking $47,000. They will be panhandling for money to move these trailers in. Come to this meeting at 3:30 on Tuesday. Just say no to the Citizens Committee for the Homeless. Just say yes to Save Our Shelters. Barbara Riverwoman, Sherry Connable, Daniel Hopkins, Ann Curry, campers who have been fighting to